Nicholas Winton is a name most Americans may not be familiar with. He was a stockbroker in London in the 1930s, but he was instrumental in the rescue of more than 600 children, mostly Jewish, from the Nazis in what was then Czechoslovakia in World War II. His efforts were largely unrecognized until he was asked to take part in a BBC show called That's Life in 1988, and that is when an extraordinary event occurred.
Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please? Mr. Winton, would you like to turn round?
Oh, and the entire studio audience stands up, and Nicholas Winton is reunited with the grown children of people he helped rescue and their descendants. Winton would later be knighted by the Queen for his war efforts and remain close to the survivors, who called themselves Nicky's children. And now his story is being told in the new film One Life, and it's only fitting that he is played by another knight, Sir Anthony Hopkins, who joins us now. Sir Anthony Hopkins, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you. One of the producers of One Life, Ian Canning, said it was beyond our wildest dreams that you would read the script and then choose to play Winton. What drew you to this story?
Well, that documentary, that was the one you've just played, I hadn't seen it back in the 1980s, but I saw it when I think Nicholas's daughter wanted me to play him. Hmm. So I read the script. It's so well written, and I think it was something personal for me as well, because I remember as a boy the first images of the concentration camp of Bergen-Belsen after the war.
Yeah.
I was in London with my parents, and I was a young boy, I was 6, 7 years of age. And I remember my father going into this photographic exhibition on a bright sunny morning, 1945. I waited outside, and he came out and he said to my mother, he said, "You wouldn't believe it, walking skeletons." And then we saw it on the newsreels, and photographs were released in the papers. So that was very much a part of my past, you know, although I never experienced that kind of suffering. But I'd observed it at that young age, so it burned itself into my memory. So when I got this script, I thought, well, this would be a wonderful way of closing the circle in a way, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's tell a little bit of the story for our listeners. Nicholas Winton was a young stockbroker in London. We see in the film he's compelled to go to Prague in what was then Czechoslovakia, and once there to bring Jewish refugee children out of these horrific ghettos there. They're on the run because the Nazis are coming after the Allies have ceded a part of Czechoslovakia to them. And Nicky Winton describes himself as an agnostic socialist with a background that is Jewish and German and Anglican. Yet his motivation, that's what I want to ask you about, it seems to me to come across as a kind of secular faith in humanity. What do you think drives him?
One of his interviews when he was really late on in his life, 90s or late 90s, but he was interviewed by an American reporter. He said, "Do you believe there is a God?" And Nicholas Winton didn't want to be dogmatic. He said, "Well, look at it this way. Germany was praying for victory. Britain was praying for victory. America was praying for victory." So, and then he shrugged his shoulders. "So what can I tell you?" And then the same interviewer said, "Do you see any future for the human race?" He said, "No." Much to the shock of the interviewer, he said, "No hope at all." He said, "No, unless we learn to compromise. And if we don't compromise and listen to the other side of the argument, then we are doomed." That maybe all metaphysics is about compromise. How do we learn? Because we can all point fingers and say, well, it's this. For, but that dark side of us is in all of us. It lurks waiting to wake up.
Well, this film to bring this back to a new generation of viewers, has you play the elderly Nicholas, and he is quiet, self-effacing. We have a little audio here from a scene where he's at lunch with an old friend played by Jonathan Pryce.
"It is incredible what you achieved."
"Oh, I don't think of it that
way." No. I mean it. Truly. I mean, you should be proud.
Oh.
Save one life, save the world, you know?
Well, it's nothing to brag about. I mean, look at Doreen and Trevor. They did far more than I did. And they took all the risks. They actually stayed in Prague.
You know, Nicky, telling people isn't bragging.
Telling people isn't bragging. And yet the Nicky you play, so many of the scenes, he's silent. I mean, he's going about his life as a retiree, bearing the moral weight, it seems, of the past. You know, it reminds me, Miles Davis famously said, it's not the notes you play, it's the notes you don't play. And I want to ask you how you think about playing a silent Nicholas Winton alone with the memories that haunt him. How did you think about that on the set?
Well, the script was so well constructed. And, you know, if you ask him about the art of acting, I don't know what that's about. But, you know, I've been doing it a long time now, so I can guess my way through intuit. A very good general rule is to, I don't mean underplay, so that you're invisible, but temper it with a moderation. Because it's easy to show off and show what you can do and what you can't do and all that. The thing is to moderate. And so I've tried in my life through the years of work, of many mistakes, to say, do less, do less. And I say that to myself all the time. Do less. Let the audience do the work.
Yeah.
Because the audience will read into the face and the expression. But if you start pushing it, the viewer is turned off. And viewers
they
are much
know.
More, yes, are much more discerning today. And, you know, in my own stage of life, I stay quiet because, not that I know everything, I don't know anything really. But I look at my own life and I think, well, I don't know how on earth I got here. I have no clue. I know that I'm pretty limited. So therefore, I think Winton must have had the same feeling. We are all limited. I mean, at the moment, we all think we're great and we're fantastic and all that, especially in this business I'm in. And I want to say, oh, shut up. We don't know anything really. And we're all going to die in the end. And I think that's the pacifier at the back of all thinking. We have no idea.
Well, can I ask about the humble Nicholas Winton in the famous scene where he meets the survivors of the children he saved? And I find this really interesting. The producers of the film actually invited the real-life Nicky's children, real-life lives of those...
Yes.
He saved and their children to play kind of themselves in the studio audience. And they didn't tell you, I gather, until the scene was filmed?
Well, they told me just before the rehearsal started.
Ah.
So they said, okay, roll the cameras. I just thought, well, just sink into it and, you know, don't act it. So when I turned around and saw them all standing, I mean, no acting required.
You can meet all of these people properly after the program. In the meantime, Mr. Winton, on behalf of all of them, thank you very much indeed.
Well, I want to ask about the importance of having this film now, for people to see this film now, because, you know, in the world today, there are refugee crises everywhere, in the Middle East, in Ukraine. You know, your co-star Johnny Flynn says, we are losing touch with the sense of decency that Nicky embodied.
Yes.
And, you know, it certainly seems taking in refugees seems very out of fashion politically right now in the UK, in the US.
But it has always been, hasn't it? You know, the world's always been in tumult. We think of these are the good old days or those are the bad. The world's always been a place of tumult and chaos. I mean, the post-war years in Germany and France, I mean, there's another tragedy. I mean, thousands of people died after that, after the great conflagration was over. Thousands of people just died or starved. And the whole of Europe was rubble. And the man who started it all blew his brains out. And for what? A dream, a colossal dream. And he led 80 million people into the abyss.
Yeah. Finally, as people, or our audience, as Americans, think about watching One Life, what do you want them to think about, or what do you want them to ask themselves as they watch this?
Well, it's a contemplation and a meditation of what we are, what we all are, and the choices we make in life. I met a lady many years ago, a woman. Her name is Mrs. Ginsburg. She'd survived Auschwitz.
Mm.
And we had coffee in Los Angeles. And she said her vocation was to go around schools and colleges, not to preach or to ram doctrine down anyone's throats, but to say, just look at history. Just see what we are capable of, both good and bad.
Mm.
It's not pointing the finger and saying, yeah, they're evil. Actually, it's looking in the mirror at ourselves, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to pontificate and preach, and then life as usual, business as usual, move on. But when we get fancy ideas about ourselves and about how everything should be, then we're in the nightmare world. Anyone who lives with certainty is doomed to hell. Stalin lived with certainty, so did Adolf Hitler. Certainty that they were right. And that's the nightmare. So when everyone starts shouting the odds, when they say in politicians, they say, let it be understood. Let me be clear. Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah. The film is One Life, about the work of Sir Nicholas Winton, who saved 669 children from the Nazis at the start of World War II, and he is played by Sir Anthony Hopkins. Sir Anthony Hopkins, great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.